Hello, this is Dr. Don Cowan coming to you from South Central Washington State. And we have been covering things in some of the prophecies of Jesus Christ, especially in Matthew. And I remember one of the things I was saying, I want to reply to that. That was, by the way, if any of you want to call in, I'd encourage you to call in with your questions. And but I was mentioning in the last couple weeks about the disciples that possibly that they could be about Jesus' age, perhaps even a little bit older, to down in, like John was probably in his upper teens. Well, I was looking into things a little bit deeper. A rabbi or a teacher at that time was usually always the oldest, so it would be very unusual to have students that were of the same age or older. So most likely they would be from a little bit younger on down. And so most of them were probably in their 20s, and with perhaps John, the Apostle John, in his upper teens, probably 18, 19 years old. And so we've been covering especially three questions that the disciples asked Jesus, and those three questions are found in the book of Matthew as far as what's going to happen in the future. And those three questions, let's go there right now. If you have a Bible handy, please grab it. And the book of Matthew is the first book in the New Testament. So if you're unfamiliar with the Bible, you just New Testament is the last one fourth. So if you just open up the Bible in half, you'll come to about the book of Psalms, and you take the last half, open it up again in a half, and it should come close to the book of Matthew. Now you come to towards the end of Matthew, chapter 24 and 25. Is principally where we have been the last couple weeks. And we see there these three questions in chapter 24, verse 3. And it says, tell us, this is, it says, now as he sat on the Mount Olives, the disciples came to him privately saying, tell us, when will these things be? And what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age? Now, when he says, when will these things be, this is concerning as far as the what Jesus just commented to them, but it also goes back for the most of all of chapter 23. In chapter 23, he was began to confront the scribes and the Pharisees, and also telling them about that there was a judgment going to be coming on Jerusalem and itself, and to that people there, that city. And so also dealing with the temple itself. And so the first part of chapter 24, following this question, starting with verse 4 up through 28, is dealing with the destruction and things coming about just before the destruction of Jerusalem. Now, one of the things is here, it says that for wherever the carcass is, there the eagles will be gathered together. Well, this is talking about right at the end of the destruction of Jerusalem. We know that what the 20,000 soldiers that were gathered around the outside under General Titus, who then became Caesar following that. His father was sitting as Caesar Vespucian at that time, and he was the general of the Roman army under him. And that they all had, the Romans would all have shields, and they did have would paint on them. They weren't just plain, but they would paint on them a picture of a, like a vulture or an eagle. And this word for eagles can be used, they had basically the same word for vulture or eagle. So when it says here that they're where the carcasses is, there the vultures or the eagles will be gathered together. And of course, that 20,000 people were armed soldiers were around Jerusalem. What happened at this time, there was in one single day, there was over 1 million people killed in Jerusalem. And over 97,000 were taken away captives by the Romans. So you're talking about at least a population of 1.1 million and more than that, because before this happened, when the 20,000 gathered around the city, they opened up at one time, and Jesus had warned the Christians. He had prophesied to the Christians 40 years before, when you see these signs coming about, which are discussed in, he tells about in verse 4 up through 28 in that time, that to flee, get out of Jerusalem. And we understand from Scripture at that time there's over 70,000 Christians that escaped and were not killed there because they escaped. There was just a 2 to 4 hour period of time that Titus had this army sort of left a big gap, and during that time, that's when the 70,000 left. Now, up until that time, the Jews sort of tolerated the Christians to a certain degree. They were upset with the Christians believing that Jesus Christ was the Messiah, but yet there wasn't the big rift between them, because the Christians would still come into the synagogues and the temples to worship God. But after that time, because the Christians would not stay and defend the city or die, basically it was die with everybody else, but escaped. And the reason why they escaped was specifically because of Jesus' prophecy. He told that the apostles and the disciples exactly what was going to happen, and they were obedient. He said, when you see these signs, flee, get out, leave. And they did that. And that 70,000 were saved, while the rest all were murdered and perished. Of course, many of them had, there was many thousands upon thousands that had already starved to death in those 4 months. That siege had lasted about 4 months. And, of course, no food was going into the city. And so many had died, but the majority were still there alive until that day. And that day is recorded that over 1 million were murdered that day. And then, as I said, 97,000, just over 97,000 that the Romans counted and recorded as prisoners taken as well. And so we have been looking into that, and if you want to write down these scriptures, 4, chapter 24, 4 through 28 is a first main division dealing with the first question, tell us when these things will be. Well, that's the answer to as far as what Jesus had already been saying was going to happen to Jerusalem, and saying that there's not going to be a stone left upon another in Jerusalem. So he was telling them that, and so this is an answer to that question. Then he says, and what will be the sign of your coming? Now this is where there is a great difference of opinion as far as what this means. As far as many in America today, you just turn on many of the Christian channels, and or even other channels, and they have a view of what is called eschatology. Eschatology is simply the word that means study of the last days, or the time of the end. And so that's the things to come in the future, the end times, the study of the end times. Now, this being BBS radio, as far as presenting things that are not mainstream, mainstream is the traditional Christian view. Now, I want to perhaps... I'm not real familiar with this. I have sort of leaned sort of in between the two different views, and I definitely wanted to study this more. But if you want probably the best book that I know of at this time is put out, it's called Victorious Eschatology, which is definitely a different view than is put out by traditional Christian, U.S. Christian, let's put it that way, because the U.S. Christian has a different view of end times, perhaps, than the world as a whole. And this Victorious Eschatology is written by Harold Eberle and Martin Trench. Harold Eberle is from the United States here, and Martin Trench is from Scotland. And so I want to give you their, their... address as far as on the internet, and I would encourage you. Harold Eberle has written, I think, over 20. I know he's written about 30 books, and these of those 30, he has written as far as published over 20 of those, and some of them have yet to be published. And the place for you to go is, if you could write this down for, and if you're at all interested in end times and the fulfillment of scriptures, this will give you a different worldview than the traditional Christian worldview that is presented in the media. And I don't want to just give you something different. If I give you something different, I want to be sure that it has biblical merit. And certainly the traditional one is well proclaimed, and there's many good sound things in it. However, if we study some of the meanings of the words, and study the use of terminology, and how it's been used throughout the Bible before, and then come today to interpret this scripture, let's look at how these terms are used before in the Bible. And sometimes today's modern Christian view that is proclaimed daily on the Christian channels is proclaiming a view that perhaps in some cases is not according to traditional Bible. As far as Bible, you have to look to the Bible to really interpret the Bible. And to use a term that they will use concerning perhaps end times or the second coming of Christ, the way they use it may not be, sometimes is not the way that those terms were used before in the Bible. And so this is an excellent, excellent, excellent book. I have not read it all, I must say, but I definitely intend to, and I have been beginning to read it. It has, it came out a couple years ago, but then the second edition is actually about double the size of the first edition. And it is well-researched, and I think it would be a very excellent addition to anybody's library and understanding of the Bible, that you get a view of Scripture based on sources in and out of the Bible. And as far as not sources, modern-day sources. No, we don't want to look at that, but we want the original sources. They go back to a couple thousand years where we can see histories at that time that are at the confirming things of the Scripture. So the Scripture is true. It's sometimes the problem is people's interpretation of it. Can be perhaps skewed a little bit by their worldview. Now, both are a Christian worldview, but we want you to know about this. Now, this address, now that I've mentioned it two or three times as far as telling you about it, I want to give it to you, giving you time to get a pen or a pencil to write this down, but I'm sure you could probably order this book at this address. It's www.worldcastpublishing.com. That's worldcastpublishing.com. And I would strongly encourage getting this, and I'll try, if I remember, to mention it once again before the program is over today. And what I will be presenting today is perhaps sort of a little bit in between the traditional way that is being broadcast in the United States and this. I would, as I will study this and look deeply into it, or at least more deeply, there may be a chance that I can get a hold of the author. I have one of the authors of the book, and perhaps we'll be able to get him on one or two or more programs. And I think it would be very, very great. He has a person that has spent years in the spirit realm. I know he went for, I think it was a four-year period of just praying constantly, speaking in other tongues for 8 hours a day for 4 years. As far as doing perhaps crazy far-out things, But yet, in the deep search for God and the power of God, revelation did come to him. And not only that, but he is a prophet. I would also call him apostle. He is prophetic in that that was much of his ministry as far as giving prophecies over people that were very accurate. And it sort of depends as far as who is speaking to, depending on the situation. But he is a prophet of God, and he is what I would call an apostle. He has started Bible schools as far as helping establish them in the Philippines, many in Africa, I think 11 in Africa, and is working towards setting up the power of God in many Arab areas as well, which really can't be, as far as spoken of on this broadcast. But it's amazing, the orphanages that he's set up and gotten funded. He helped fund and then has gone alongside other ministries to help continue those and cause those places to flourish. And so I hope you get that book. Okay, we want to come into the second part. If you divide these three questions, as I said, the first one is Matthew 24 through 28. The second one, if you make a little notation in your Bible, is 29, verses 29 through 35 for the second question. And for the third question is Matthew 36 on through clear to the end of chapter 25. Now, let's briefly cover over the second question. And that second question is, and what will be the sign of your coming? And it says there, immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will fall from heaven, and the powers of the heaven will be shaken. Then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the heaven, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he will send his angels, and with a great sound of a trumpet, and they will gather together his elect from the four winds and from one end of the earth to the other. Now learn this parable from the fig tree. When its branch has already become tender and puts forth leaves, you know that summer is near. So you also, when you see all these things, know that it is near, at the door. Assuredly, I say to you, this generation will by no means pass away till all these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. Now, this is probably the one of the most controversial portions of Scripture there is, and I am not fully versed on either side of this, but let me speak into this just a little bit about what this means. And perhaps the differing views, and both based on Scripture, but one more so on Scripture, and one is more implying things. And I would tend to believe more the one that is based on the Word of God more, but the other people would say theirs is based on the Word of God too, but I think sometimes they perhaps might be stretching it a little bit. we see here this, it says, immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Now, this term is basically also used in various other places in the Bible. In Isaiah, about 1, 2, 3 different places, Ezekiel and the book of Amos. And this is dealing, this matter of sun being darkened, the moon not giving its light, the stars fall from heaven, the powers of heaven will be shaken. This deals often with the judgments on nations. So to say that this is a literal thing, while it's been used several times before in Scripture, and it was used in the context in the judgment of the individual nation. And to that means, well, let's look at another example. There was Joseph who ruled Egypt under Pharaoh. He was a man of dreams, and he started out as a young man, and when he was a young man, he also had dreams, and he had the anointing and power of God on him. He had a dream, and that dream was that the sun and the moon and the 11 stars all bowed down to him. Well, what was the sun and moon and 11 stars? That was his father, mother, and all of his brothers. In other words, all the powers in his life bowed down to him. And so we see there that it was not literal. We see also that in these other scriptures, it was dealing with nations. In other words, their power, their authority was totally destroyed. Like their sun, their moon, their stars, everything of their authority and power was completely done away with in a day. And so there's total destruction there. So for this to be, I'm not denying that this could be a literal fulfillment. I'm just saying that let's look at Scripture itself. And Scripture itself, we see that it can be certainly like it has been in the past, that this is the total, it's talking about this total destruction. And you take over 1 million people being killed in one day, which happened in 70 AD. There's over 1 million Jews killed in that one day. Certainly, that would be total destruction. 97,000 taken away captives. And within that period of time, those who were Christians had escaped because of the words of Jesus Christ. The 70,000 Christians that were in the city all left within those 2 to 3 hours that Jesus said, when you see these signs coming of eagles gathering around Jerusalem, and of course that was on every shield of the Roman army, was those eagles or vultures, and that was, when you see these things, that you flee. You don't even go back to get your stuff. You just get out and get out while you can. Well, that was true. There was only a couple hours, 2 to 3 hours or so, and then they closed ranks, and anybody that came out was slain or crucified. They didn't permit anybody to be escape alive. And so that 70,000 got out because they listened to the word of Jesus Christ. They obeyed his word. And therefore, they save their physical life. You see, their spiritual life, their eternal life, was already saved because of the one most important thing. They had already asked the God the Father to forgive their sins. They had asked Jesus to come into their heart. They had asked to God to make them the kind of person that God, their Creator, wanted them to be. And because of that, of their obedience, they were saved physically as well as spiritually. So let's go on to the next verse. It says, then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the heavens, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn. And when they see the Son of Man coming on the clouds with great power and great glory. Well, the traditional view here is that we're looking at a time of Jesus coming back, you see in scriptures, perhaps the modern view has two different ways. He's coming back one time in the clouds, but he does not touch the earth. The second time, he comes back and touches the earth and splits the Mount of Olives. Well, victorious eschatology deals with things as far as things are getting better. Now, at the same time, there might be things getting worse, but overall, the church is expanding, and the people being saved and set free, it's remarkable. Now, there's another thing going on today, and you should be aware of it. There's a revival that started, I think, in April in Florida, in Lakeland, Florida. And there is a TV called God TV, and it's on. You can pick it up on the internet. I'm not sure, but I think it is just www.god.tv, and I'm not positive if that's the right one, but I think that is the correct one. So it's not .com or .org or .net or any of those, but it's .tv. And so it's www.godtv. And there's a person that is covered almost head to foot, not totally, but almost with tattoos all over his body. There's great miracles happening through him, but it's not just through him. It is imparted through just listening. Now, if you have a need and a healing that you need in your body, I would encourage you to listen to that. Now, they have, I think, live broadcast of that of each evening. And but there have been also, because of that, there's also been 13, as of a week or two ago, 13 people raised from the dead. So this is real power. This is real power, and it's transferable power. Many of these people have gone there. They have gone to that meeting. When they've gone home, then they touch the people at home, and that power goes on them. So it's not something restricted to one person or to four or five people, but it's transferable for those that believe in Jesus Christ. That is transferable power. It transfers as far as the people that go there. They go back to their places, churches or communities. It doesn't have to be in the church at all, just wherever. And miracles happen just because they receive the anointing of God at that place. Also, people have received the anointing of God just through the airwaves, through the internet. And through that power, as I said, over 13 people as a few weeks ago, have already been raised from the dead. And this was just started in April, besides hundreds and hundreds of thousands of other miracles of physical healings. So if you need a healing in your body or other things that you have need of from your Creator, I would encourage you to tune in to www.god.tv. And just wanted to bring that up to you because I'm sure that will be an experience. I'm not sure their schedule. I think it's almost every night. God TV preempted everything for the last four or so months and have put that on for, I think, 2 or 3 hours every day. And I don't know if they have a rebroadcast of that during the day or not. But I would, once again, encourage you to tune in to that if you need the touch of God in your life. And if you're a traditional Christian, that is definitely not mainstream. Because, as I said, you would look at this person with tattooed from head to foot and... you say, well, how would somebody use him? Well, of course, God will use anybody and wants to bless anybody who has his heart and mind open to his Creator, that wants to not only know him, but be obedient to call upon his name. And so, getting back to the scripture here, chapter 24, verses, we covered 29 and 30, and we looked at this, the sign of the Son of Man in the heaven. Well, there's many things about the sign of the Son of Man. Of course, after this, that he wrote this, there was 500 people that saw Jesus taken up into heaven. There appeared at the time two angels then and said, "Why do you keep staring up into heaven to all these people?" He said, this Jesus, the Lord, Son of God, who ascended into heaven will also come back the same way. So this is we know this is going to happen sometime in the future. So now, many people say that this is, it's sometime in the future that it says, then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the heaven, and all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the man, Son of Man, coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And all you have to do is turn into there's a number of Christian televisions. I think TBN is probably the one I am familiar with. I know you can get that on the internet as well. Just go to, I believe it is www.tbn.org, I'm sure, I think. It might be .com, but I think it's .org. And as I go on here, it's... I'm not going to get into this too much because one is a view that many of these things are already accomplished, and the other that they are putting these things off in the future. And this is where all this eschatology, which is the study of end times, is looking that there's going to be these great traumatic events at the end. And he will send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they will gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. And this again is a view that the traditional view is to say that, okay, God is going to gather together everybody off the earth that believes in him, that have trusted in him, and that the Lord God Almighty is coming back for his saints. And that's certainly true, but whether it's in this context or not, this is what I would say, that since I've been beginning to look into this more, I realize that there is, as I said, the traditional view that is strongly put forth in the United States, not necessarily worldwide, though, and also from victorious eschatology that is well biblically researched as well. Verse 32, it says, "Now learn this parable from the fig tree. When the branches already become tender and puts forth its leaves, you know that the summer is near. So you also, when you see all these things, know that it is near at the doors." Now, we see here, as far as one is... a view of this is that this is representing Israel, but it doesn't say any place here that it represents Israel. And usually Israel is considered in the Bible an olive tree, not a fig tree. And yet many of these people from the United States view this as Israel is reborn as a nation, that these things will come about. Well, these things, most of these things already had their fulfillment. They were fulfilled in that generation that Jesus was speaking to. He said that this nation, this generation will not pass away until these signs are fulfilled. Well, it was 40 years. Well, basically a generation is about 40 years. And it says this generation won't pass away. Okay, many of the people had passed away, but the generation had not passed away. And these things that he had proclaimed, that they were looking for, the Christians at that time were looking for, and they were fulfilled like he spoke. And so we see here that the other view is that this is talking, as I said, one is a view that this is something that's happening in the future, that, and in the present perhaps, that they're talking about Israel, but it doesn't say that, and it uses the wrong terminology. I'm not saying that this present view is not right or not correct. I think many of the things that they speak have a great validity. And I'm sure Israel has a definite part in it. And to say that it didn't, I believe, would be totally inaccurate. And I do not want to go in that direction, because I believe that God, when he established and said that he was going to do certain things with his people, Israel, the children of the people of Jacob, and of Judah and all Israel, that he's going to continue doing that. And so we want to keep a mind that is open to be faithful to the scriptures. Assuredly, I say to you, this generation will by no means pass away till all these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. So that was perhaps, I say, those few verses are perhaps some of the most controversial. Let's go on to the third question. It was, what will be the end of the age or the end of the world? Now, people say the end of the world, but that's probably a mistranslation. It should be the end of an eon or an age. It's a period of time. This dealing with man, with God, and so it should be the end of the age. Now, verses 36, clear through the end of that chapter, and all of 25 deal with the end of the age. Well, now let's begin to get into this. But of that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as of the days of Noah were, so also the coming of the Son of Man will be. For as in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and did not know until the flood came and took them all away. So also will be the coming of the Son of Man. Then two men will be in the field, one will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding at the mill, one will be taken and the other left. Watch therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. So we see here it's a matter of uncertainty, but yet certainty. We know that there's a certainty that Jesus Christ is coming back, but we don't know just when it's going to happen. And we notice right from the very beginning that basically Jesus is saying, while he was on the earth, that he did not know the hour and the day that he was coming back. Now, some people say as far as not knowing the day and the hour, I'm thinking of about two or three different things. I'm trying to think of which one to say first. And when Jesus talks about a marriage, is that, and the ten virgins, that people get ready, but they don't know just when he's coming. They have this call out that the bridegroom is coming, but they don't know just when it's coming. So you need to be prepared. And so here it is that no one knows. And he's saying that in another place that even Jesus himself did not know. Well, one of the reasons why he can't know is because there's another we see in Scripture that everything, he says, everything of the Father that I know of, I have revealed to you. And also everything that you know of me, the Holy Spirit will reveal to you. Well, if that is true, and if Jesus knew when he was coming back, then that would be available to mankind to know the exact time when he's coming back, because of that he spoke, that you will know, either by me directly or by the Holy Spirit, those things that I know. And so he was telling this to his apostles, but he was saying that this is only the Father knows. Well, this is true in the story of a marriage. It was the matter of a husband and a wife. They were betrothed or engaged, but they were. It was a period of time. Okay, it says that I will go away now and prepare a place for you, the bridegroom speaking to the bride to be, and I will go away and prepare a place for you where my father's house is. And you see, that's what happened at that time. There would be the father's house, and when the son was betrothed, then he would start building, adjoining the father's house. It was like a family compound. And so he would go adjoining to that and building there a place for his wife. But when he would come to his wife and receive her, he did not know, because it wasn't up to him. It wasn't just that he had to go away and prepare a place, but it wasn't until his father said, okay, now you can go get your bride. At that time, the shofar, or the horn, was blown, and he would go that day and go get his bride. So the bride had to always be ready at the get all the things she needed and have them set aside. It's like having almost a packed suitcase, but you don't know which day it's going to happen. And that's what's happening here. It's saying, okay, that you need to be ready. And this is the position that they're saying right there. It says, but as in the days of Noah were, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. Well, Noah had been preaching for 120 years. He was called a preacher. But yet, all the society, whether he built the ark just by himself and his three sons and his wife and daughter-in-laws, I don't know. Or he might have even had other people helping. You have to remember, this is a large ship. And when you say 300 cubits long, Well, a cubit, or 450, I forget just what the dimensions of that was, that is basically a size of a football field, the size of the ship that he built. And so this is a humongous ship, the size of a football field, in fact, a little bit longer, and fairly wide, too. And so here's a large ship that is built, being built on dry land. And it wasn't until, you say, there was his grandfather's name was Methuselah. Well, the Methuselah, his name meant that that when he died, that everything would be washed away. And so it's this, we have in recordings of outside the Bible that in the ancient recordings that Methuselah died, and then within 5 days the flood came. So the flood couldn't come until Methuselah died. See, back then everybody's name had prophetic meaning, especially those of God had a prophetic meaning. And so it's saying here that as in the days of Noah, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. Well, what happens there? Did you know what time it will be? No. Noah would know not the time or the day or the hour, but he would know about the time. It says that God gathered the animals. Well, if all the animals started coming to the ship and coming up to the ship, Noah would have known that it must be about time. And that's what happened. God was the one. Noah didn't go out and gather the animals. It's that God brought them to him. It's also that it talks about the Word of God says that God shut them into the ark. And so Noah and the sons might have had a part in it, but the main part of the sealing of the outside of the ship was done by God himself. That when God had brought the animals there and they had entered into the ark, and when everything was closed up, that they were sealed in. And then it talks about the rains coming and the great deeps being broken open, that the earth was split open at that time, and the waters of the deep filled the earth. So this would have been shooting probably miles high into the atmosphere, which kept the rain keep coming and coming because of this mantle. We know that also from scientists that the floor of the Pacific Ocean, that part of the ocean, was considerably higher, and all of a sudden it dropped about 1 mile in depth. Well, that was the part of the underlying water of the earth that shot way up into the air. So we come here, and we're getting close to the end of our program, but we want to take notice of this. Is this about being ready? Because we don't know the timing of God's coming. And so it says here, as in the days of Noah, so also will be the coming of the Son of Man. Are you ready? Now, this might be maybe 100 or 1,000 years from now. I don't believe it's going to be that long. I believe it's going to happen within the next 2 or 3 generations, maybe within our generation. However, we know for each person, it's just like the days of Noah, because we are all going to die. And whether we happen to die today or in 50, 60, 100 years, I'm sure in 200 years' time that we're not going to be here. not in this physical body that you and I are in right now. And there's only two types of wonderful people in the earth. And that's who you are. You are a wonderful creation of God. And there's only two type of you out there. And throughout the world, there's only two type of people. Those who are saved and those who are about to be saved. And I just ask you, which one are you? Are you one who's already saved, or are you one that's about to be saved? I just ask you right now to repeat this after me. Father, that's right, go ahead, say it out loud so you can hear it with your own ears. Father, forgive my sins. Jesus, come into my heart. Make me the kind of person you want me to be. Thank you for saving me. Well, my question to you, where is Jesus right now? Did you pray that? Did you ask Jesus in your heart? If you didn't, there's just four simple things that I said that we need to say to our Creator. Father, forgive my sins. Jesus, come into my heart. Holy Spirit, make me the kind of person you want me to be, Jesus. And thank you for saving me. I want to mention things once again, that book I would greatly encourage you, because this is a different but a sound, a different worldview of eschatology, and this is a very victorious view. This is not the doom and gloom that perhaps is accompanied by some of the traditional ways. Some of the traditional ways are victorious, but many of them are doom and gloom. Well, this is definitely a victorious world view of the coming times, that things are going to be getting better, that the influence of God and the Creator is going to cover the earth, and things are going to actually get better. And I'd encourage you to go to www.worldcastpublishing.com. That's WORLD, WorldCast, CAST, Publishing, PUBLISHING.com. And that will give you a non-mainstream, but definitely probably a more accurate view of the future. Father, we just thank you and praise you this day. We thank you for all these blessed people that are listening. We ask that your life might become in them, that they might know their Creator and might receive the blessing of God Almighty. This is Dr. Don Cowan coming to you from South Central Washington State, and we just say, bless you. Have a great week, and we hope to be back with you next week. Bye-bye.